seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the prophecy of Hosea chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. The prophecy of Hosea chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. The prophecy of Hosea chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Those of you who are present 2 weeks ago will remember that I said how wonderfully the Lord spoke these words into my soul while in Bournemouth Hospital 4 weeks ago today. And they have remained with me with a wonderful measure of power. And I cannot get away from them, and so we venture to bring them before you this morning. And may the Lord help us to look a little into this sacred word. First of all, the prophet Hosea was wonderfully anointed of God in his day, like Isaiah and so many of the prophets were, to be used of God as God's messengers. And the day in which he prophesied was a day when many in the Church of God had wandered from the Lord and were not as exercised and concerned as they should have been. And hence we find the Lord speaking this word, come and let us return unto the Lord. The first word is a very beautiful word, isn't it? Come. And are there those of us that need the Lord to speak that to us today? You know, to a poor, dejected, burdened, weighed down sinner, such a word spoken by the Lord as this is a very beautiful word to them. Those that feel because of their sin the Lord has a perfect right and just right to cut them off because of those sins, it will be music to their ears to hear him say, come. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So what an encouragement to a poor sinner for the Lord to whisper, come. But then we think too of that beautiful word which Jesus spoke, that it's been made a blessing to so many of God's dear children, in so many different conditions. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And those of you that may have many burdens, many things you labour under today, may the Holy Spirit whisper that word, "Come unto me." And you see, a coming sinner is a blessed thing in the sight of the Lord, a blessed character. Oh, that we might each be coming sinners to Christ. Nowhere else to flee. So the dear prophet speaks this word, "Come. Let us return unto the Lord." Now, there's two ways we would lovingly set this before you. First of all, it is a clear word of commission from heaven to those that have wandered from the Lord. We find so many times, particularly through the prophecy of Jeremiah, where the Lord spoke to Jeremiah to speak to the people, that they should return unto the Lord. Why? Because they had wandered into sin. They had wandered after other gods, were serving them when they should have been serving the Lord. And how prone we are, aren't we, to wander. Those of us that know our own hearts, like the hymn writer said, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." We've no stones to throw at the Church of God in Hosea's day, or the children of Israel as they went through the wilderness. Those of you that know your own heart and know how prone we are to wander. And prone we are to backslide. You see, this wandering was not just with their minds. How soon we wander, you know, you can come into the house of God and you think, well, we meditate upon what is preached or what is read. And so often our minds wander maybe into the coming week, what we got to do. Or wander into things that concern us and trouble us, and we're taken over by them. So in our minds we need to return to the Lord, and we cannot do it ourselves, can we? But he will put, and this is the second point in this really, into our hearts this desire to return. Because you see, this word, "Come and let us return unto the Lord," it was the desire given by God to his dear people that had wandered. Their desire was to return. We read, "The ransom of the Lord shall return and shall come to Zion, and they shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them." But then how we wander in our hearts, don't we? So this word is not only a vital word to our poor finite minds, but to our hearts, "Let us return unto the Lord." You see, they'd wandered into sin, they'd wandered into unbelief, they'd wandered from the God they once so loved. We find in this prophecy, don't we, the Lord spoke that very precious word, really. And what a mercy it did, because they'd wandered after other lovers. They'd forgotten the Lord whom they loved, and they wandered after other lovers. Men, pleasures, idols, wickedness, sin. And what did the Lord say? He didn't say, he could have said, I will cut you off forever because of it. But he didn't, did he? And why didn't he do that? It was because he loved them. Oh, you go into Jeremiah's prophecy. What does the Lord say? Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. But what do we read in this sacred prophecy? The Lord says, I will allure her. That is to say, in its simplicity, I will draw her. I will allure her, and I will bring her into the wilderness, and I will speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing as in the days of her youth. Now this is what the Lord was going to do, you see, all because he loved her. He was to draw her away from sin. He was to draw her away from her worldliness and from all her idols. And he was to draw her to himself. As the old preachers used to often say, the Lord will have all the heart or nothing. He's a jealous God, you see. And because he loved her here, you see, he not only commanded her to return, his bride, his church, but he put it in her heart to return. And you know, that's very sweet to me. He put it in her heart, because she, what does we read here? Come, let us. This was her desire. Let us return unto the Lord, to love him, to adore him, to seek him, to serve him. You see, not only she wandered in the things I'd named, but you see, she wandered in her steps. You know, it's not all what a person says, it's how they walk. It's no big words. I've often quoted it of ready talkers. It's humble walkers. These are they that Jesus loves. And this is why, and you, dear young ones, and us the older too, need to be very careful. It's not just what we say, it's how we walk. The world, you see, watch how we walk. They watch how we act. They watch what we say. And so do the Lord's people. And above everything, so does the Lord see. You know, nothing escapes his sight. He saw their wanderings of heart, the wanderings of their minds, their wanderings of their steps. And because he loves her, he draws her back. Now, that beautiful word in the Song of Solomon, may it be our continual prayer, like the spouse prayed there. What did she say? Draw me, and we will run after thee. And you know, one touch of the Lord's love will draw all our affection heavenward. Oh, it will. One touch from thee will make me whole. So he says, here the Holy Spirit come, let us return. Think of that beautiful word in Jeremiah, what did the Lord say to those captive as they return from Babylon? Return, O backsliding daughter. And then listen. For I am married unto you. You know, you'd be the happiest soul in Zohar Chapel and throughout the earth if the Lord whisper that to you. And I am married unto you. And that marriage is eternal, you see. Oh, it is. He loves his dear children with an everlasting love. And they want to feel it more and more. Come, let us return unto the Lord. Oh, I think back to 4 weeks ago today. Let us return unto the Lord. And you know, it drew my heart heavenwards. Oh, it did. Let us return unto the Lord. How prone we are, you see, to wander, and how we need him to draw us. But there's a word, and I almost read it this morning together in Malachi. What did the Lord say? Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Now, what a wonderful promise that is, isn't it? Return unto me, the Lord said. Not that a poor, and let's be very clear, not that the poor sinner has any power in and of themselves too. Many self-anointed persons in religion would say, oh, but all you've got to do is return to the Lord and he will return to you, as though the sinner has any power to. Poor soul, you've got no power, nor I have to return, nor these dear people. But the Lord was to cause them to return. So when he says, return unto me, it was a clear word spoken by the Lord into sinner's heart, return unto me. And then listen, and I, the Lord speaking, will return unto you. And he'll return with all the blessings that he may have favoured you with years ago. Oh, you go into the Song of Solomon where she speaks, the bride of Christ, of the days of her espousal. But you know she wasn't always there, was she? How cold she was from time to time, so indifferent, so unexercised. But oh, when the Lord was pleased to draw her, how willingly she returned. And as soon as she returned, what did he do? He poured his blessing upon her. So her very soul was full of his love. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Now that's what the Lord has promised. And when he says he'll return to you with the blessings, the favours, the tokens of his love, his mercy, his goodness, his compassion, really all the blessings of heaven will flow down in it. And I will return unto you. In other words, you'll be once again under his smile. And not under his frown. You know, so often we fear the frown of God, don't we? But oh, when he returns. There's a good prayer in the hymn, isn't it? Oh, for a closer walk with God. And what is the prayer in it? Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made me thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Oh, that the Lord would grant it. You look back and say with the same hymn writer in the same hymn, don't you? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul's refreshing view of Jesus and his word? And then that prayer, return, O holy dove, return. Sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins, do you? Do I? That made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Come, let us return unto the Lord. Well, much further could be said upon that, but it's a very vital word. And may we lay to heart the two things really I tried to set before you. First of all, the clear commission of the Lord for the sinner to return. And secondly, how he puts it in the heart of his dear child, his dear people, let us return. You see, collectively they got to return. All they had. Not just one, but collectively, they got to return. They'd all wandered. But they were all to return. Let us return unto the Lord. To be near him, you see. To know his sweet presence. To know that sweet communion with him. Fellowship with him in his sufferings. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath torn. We see here the omnipotence of our God. We see here his great power. You will notice the wording is very significant. He doesn't say, for he hath torn and man will heal. No, the same God, and this be very clear in this, that had torn them was to heal them. He had all power to. Oh yes. You may have wondered why we read those chapters in the book of Job. I hadn't any intention of reading them till shortly before we came here this morning. That seemed to so rest upon me, the case of dear Job. You think of it, for he hath torn, and if ever a man knew what it was to experience that, that God had torn him, Job did. You know, if you tear a muscle in your body or any part of the flesh is torn, it's very painful. And there were various ways that the Lord was to tear his dear people. Why? That they might be healed. For he hath torn. The Holy Spirit didn't say, well, you know, he may tear us, or we could have been torn. He said, he hath torn. And I want us help, just briefly this morning, to look a little how the Lord does this. He's painful to the flesh. You look in the case of Job, how he was torn. His children were torn away from him by Satan, and the Lord permitted it. His livelihood was torn away from him, by Satan. But the Lord, in his sovereignty, permitted it. He hath torn. And then look at the affliction that was upon dear Job. And I thought so much as I lay in the hospital 4 weeks ago today. He hath torn. He tore all my strength away. All my powers. In a moment. He hath torn. And that's painful to walk out. The flesh doesn't like it. You see, we sing, don't we, in the hymn, the flesh dislikes the way, but faith approves it well. And sometimes we are torn by bitter afflictions coming upon us. We read in that fifth chapter, and that's really what directed me to this, thinking of dear Job, what his life as the Temanite said to him. And what a blessed true word it was. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. You may say, what, with poor Job in all this? You know, there was to be happiness brought out. We are favoured to know the whole history of all the life of Job, aren't we, throughout God's word. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. And this was the word, for he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. Oh, you know, they're beautiful words, aren't they? He hath torn. And some of you may be under things, you know what it is for to be torn by affliction, or torn by the temptations and bitter temptations of Satan. And you think of dear Job, I've named some of the things that the Lord had torn from him. But think of the dear man in his soul. All inside, he hath torn. And what did the Lord do? He permitted Satan to attack Job in his inmost soul. But the wonderful mercy, as I've often said, was Satan couldn't destroy him, could he? No. The Lord said, touch not his life. But Satan did all in his power to destroy him, didn't he? He hath torn. It was fact. He was in it. He hath torn. And if you look in the case of these dear people, when they uttered these words, for he hath torn, they were in it. And they were walking through it. For he hath torn. Well, you can look at the case of dear old Jacob. Oh, it seemed to rest so upon me before I got up this morning. I lay there thinking upon this word, he hath torn. And you look how when the brethren, the brothers of Joseph, sold him down into Egypt, and how they deceived their father. You think how torn the dear man must have been in his heart. He loved Joseph. He was so dear to him. And for all those years he didn't know whether he was dead or alive. How torn the dear man was. Would he ever be healed? Well, the Lord who had permitted this and caused it all to come was to heal him. Oh, he was. The same God, you see. You look in the case of dear Job and those things I have named, how the Lord tore him. But you look how the Lord healed him. And I'll look at that in a moment. But think of dear old Jacob regarding Joseph. And then you look how he was torn by the famine upon the land. And then you look how he was torn when they took away Simeon from him. And then look how torn he was. He cut deeper and deeper, didn't he? When they came to take away Benjamin. He hath torn. The sovereignty of God in it all. He hath torn. And you know, when we're walking in something like this, like dear old Jacob or Job was, we need much grace to submit to it. All we do. And I found as I lay in the hospital, you'll give me that grace to bear it. He hath torn. And dear old Jacob needed much grace, didn't he? What did he say? Joseph is not. Simeon is not. Now they've come to take away Benjamin. All these things are against me. Oh, the dear man knew what it was to be torn, didn't he? And you know, really, and I say this lovingly for you, dear young ones, don't be surprised if you're one of God's dear children. You have to walk through things the Lord will tear from you. He'll tear the world out of us. Why? Because he will have the sinner's heart. He'll tear away all the idols. Oh, he will. The flesh won't like it. You think of when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He tore them away from all the worldliness and carnality and wickedness and sin there was in Egypt. They had to come out of it all to serve the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul as they walked through the wilderness. And through that wilderness journey, you look how many times they were torn by the Lord. Much of it was because of their wickedness and sin and backsliding. He hath torn. But oh, you look at the other side. You see, what a wonderful mercy it is. They didn't just leave it, and the Holy Spirit doesn't just leave it there, does he? He has torn. But the same God that had torn them was to heal them. Oh, he was. And you look how he healed Job in his soul so he could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And how he could say, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That was grace shining in Job. The Lord who had torn was healing him. And he alone could do it, couldn't he? And then you go into the last part of the book of Job. And oh, you find how wonderfully the Lord healed him in all his business, in all his family. His daughters were the fairest in the land. And you look at the blessing the Lord gave him. He hath torn. And he will. Look at the faith given. Let us just pause a moment briefly on this. Look at the faith given to the dear souls here that were returning. He will heal us. And that was faith believing it. And you know, I believe with dear old Jacob in it all, dear Job in it all, faith believed the Lord would heal them. And oh, you think of how he healed Job in every way and gave him double than he ever had before. He hath torn and he will heal us. And then we think too of dear old Jacob, how the Lord was to heal him. When he saw those wagons coming from Egypt, and he was to go down into Egypt before to see Joseph before he died. And look how the Lord healed it all, didn't he? And what did Joseph say to those brethren? That God had meant it for good. Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And you see, it all worked together for good. That's a sacred word, isn't it, in the 8th chapter of Romans. And we know, the apostle said, that all things work together for good. All those things you've been torn in will work for together for your good. It makes you look to the Lord, doesn't it? It makes you lean hard upon him. It makes you seek his face. He hath torn, but he will heal us. And he will heal us. Look at the faith given. He will. There was no doubt about it. And we're favoured through the Holy Scriptures to read how the Lord, in those two dear men's cases, tore them. But we are favoured to know how he healed them. And may the Lord grant it to each of us. He hath torn and he will heal. And oh, you think of the dear man in, well, we read it in Matthew's Gospel on Thursday, didn't we? The dear man that brought his son to the Lord Jesus that was a lunatic and possessed of the devil. Satan trying to destroy him. But in Mark's Gospel, what do we read? When he brought the dear child to the Saviour, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And then we find how wonderfully the Lord Jesus healed the dear lad, didn't he? Cast the devils out and healed him. But the point was this, wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And Satan will do all he can to tear from you all the religion God has given you, all the hopes that he's given you, all the blessings. But it's a proof, poor soul, that you're one of his children, because he'll never attack his own like that. He hath torn, and the Lord permits Satan sometimes to tear us like he did Peter. But you look how the Lord healed dear Peter. But I must leave it, the time's gone. But may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this word to us. He hath torn, but don't rest there, child of God. Faith given will say, he will heal us, and faith will believe it. Amen.